Hello, and welcome back to The Social Disease.
I'm Jasper.
And I'm Bridget.
And this is it. We did
This is our grand finale.
We've watched it all. I don't know how many hours of our lives we dedicated to watching all of Degrassi over the last 4 years, but we did it.
Too many.
So many hours. We'll do the math one day.
We could probably add up all the there's timestamps for the episodes that we uploaded, but those are also edited.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I think we'll just have to do the math, multiply each episode. How long are those in each season? Like one of those seasons was like 40 episodes. So much. But here we are to wrap everything up.
Yeah, after this, we will have discussed every single episode in the Degrassi canon.
I don't even know what to say about it other than this was a lot of fun. I'm glad we did this.
Yeah, we started 4 years ago as our pandemic hobby, as so many people did. But unlike most people, we stuck with it after the pandemic.
We sure did. We stuck it out all 4 years. We watched all of the Degrassi. We even went back and watched the junior high, senior high, and no one ever does that. So we're just one of a kind.
And someday Degrassi will return.
And so will we. But until that day, we have to cover the infamous Degrassi Schools Out.
Yeah, it is the first, and I don't know if it's the most iconic movie. Degrassi Goes Hollywood is still my favorite, personally.
This one's gotta be like second though.
Probably.
With the amount of drama that happened in this hour and a half, oh my God, it just was so good. It made all watching all of that worth it.
Yeah, like both Schools Out and like Degrassi Goes Hollywood, Degrassi Takes Manhattan. And also that one summer episode movie with Maya and Zoe.
Not the one where she got kidnapped.
Yeah, that one. We don't talk about that one, but
Okay, good.
all of the movies, like this is what I kind of like about Degrassi movies, is that it doesn't take itself so seriously as like the regular episodes do in terms of like, oh, they're in high school, so it has to be realistic. Like this movie is probably the most realistic out of all of them, but like with the ending, with all of the tragedy that happens at the end, I feel like that isn't something that most people are going to experience. And then obviously the kidnapping, or like the characters getting famous and or getting married to somebody who you have dated for a week, are obviously less realistic. But I like how the movies just feel free to have fun with the characters, because most of the time the movies are a send-off to the characters too.
Yeah, and I feel like having it take place during the summer almost just adds that extra, like, anything can happen in the summer vibe. So I feel like that's why you're right. It definitely takes itself like less seriously. And I found it very entertaining.
Yeah.
I like watching it like what, 3 times in the last like few months, and it's still like good every time.
Yeah, it's a banger, but it also pisses me off.
Well, I would love to hear why. But first, I think we have to start with Simon and Alexa.
Yeah. So they're kind of the backdrop of the movie. They're kind of they pop in and out because, oh, I guess first off, I should start by saying that there has been a year time jump between the end of season two and now. We basically skipped the OG eighth graders from junior high season one. We skipped their senior year to their graduation. So the first scene of the movie is all of them graduating. They're actually not graduating from Degrassi, because remember, Degrassi closed down at the end of the last season because of structural problems and or asbestos or whatever it was. So it's been a year, and we find out that Simon and Alexa are engaged. And they're planning to get married in October. So they're spending the summer, wedding planning and stuff. And Alexa, being Alexa, she's like showing everybody her ring. She's like, look how beautiful it is. Simon has such great taste. They're kind of comic relief throughout the movie, where they just kind of pop in with Alexa being Alexa while other serious things are happening. Like at one point, they pop into the photo shop that Spike and Tessa are working at. Alexa accuses Simon of getting cold feet at one point when he says that he's tired of like all of the meetings that he has to go to plan the wedding. She's like, you don't love me. You don't want to get married. And then the movie ends with, you know, at the end of the summer, everybody went off to college, but everybody comes back after a couple months for the wedding. So that's kind of the epilogue of the movie, is their wedding. And kind of the last scene that we have of Simon and Alexa specifically is that they're excited to have sex with each other for the first time. And they're talking about how they just bought their first apartment. And yeah, they're happily married and in love.
Yeah, I mean, that was Simon and Alexa. I feel like we knew that this day would come, right? I mean, they'd been dating for so long through this entire series, like since what, eighth grade, basically?
Yeah, season two in eighth grade.
Yeah, which is a really long time. It doesn't surprise me that they get engaged right outside of high school and then get married immediately, because I feel like during that time period that like made sense. But what I am shocked about is, how do they even have this money? Like, they just graduated and then they're like, okay, we're gonna get married in like October. I'm like, whoa. I feel like they probably graduated in May, if I had to guess, right? Because I feel like Canada's like trimesters or something. So like, realistically, this entire movie, start to finish, probably like May to October. So I don't know how they get the money, but I do agree that they are a nice kind of like comic relief. Like, it's when they come on, it's like you can't take them that seriously because they're just like children planning a wedding. And Simon's just like, I'll show up the day of, you know, I'll be there until she thinks he won't.
Yeah, it's just interesting to me how they, is it Lucy that points out like, oh, teen marriage, what a concept. Like, can't believe they're doing that. Because obviously later on, Degrassi kind of takes a stance against teen marriage with Drew and Bianca. Does anybody else try to get married? I guess Allie does get married for a couple seconds.
Oh, Allie. I don't even want to count her.
And Emma and Spinner get married, I guess, but they're college age by that point, which is still pretty young, but...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well.
But yeah, like Degrassi, at least with Drew and Bianca, they're very much teen marriage is not a thing you should do. So it's interesting how they kind of support Simon and Alexa getting married so young here.
Oh, I see your note. Where was Michelle?
Yeah, what the fuck? Why was Michelle, Alexa and Simon's best friend forever, not involved in this wedding at all?
I know, right? They invested so much time into her.
I was pissed.
And then she just, like, what, went away to college or something and just, like, overdosed maybe on some caffeine pills? Unsure.
I was so mad. I was like, she's not even going to be a bridesmaid. Are you kidding?
Yeah, that was surprising, too. And they just, like, I don't know. I figured maybe she would be Snake's love interest in this.
Well, as I alluded to last time, I have thoughts about that.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. But in the context of the movie, like I said, they're just kind of comic relief. And they're just kind of a reason for the characters to come back together after, you know, the climax towards the end of the movie. So that, you know, you could have the whole Joey apologizes to Caitlin at the end and Snake and Joey make up and such. Because otherwise, if all of that happened, like, you know, the day or a couple days after all of the bullshit happens at the end of the movie, I feel like that would make less sense. So really, the point of this wedding was so that, like, they didn't have to do, like, another time jump till the next summer. It was just like, oh, it's been, like, just 2 months that they've been away from each other.
I kind of want to comment on that, and I feel like now's a good time since, like, Simon and Alexa don't really have too much. I think it's so funny how much they act like they've grown in the 2 months.
Yeah.
From, like, the end of August until, not even, I guess, 2 months. I guess, like, a month and a half, maybe. And then they're like, yeah, the summer. Yeah, oh my gosh, I've grown so much. I'm like, what? It's so ridiculous.
I feel like that's kind of true, though, right? I mean, usually your first time coming home from college is Thanksgiving, right? Or if not that, for Christmas break.
Right.
And I don't know if me or my friends were ever like, oh, we've grown so much. But like, it was like, oh, I've done all of these things in my first semester of college. What are you up to? And just kind of talking about new things in that way.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't have been against if they wanted to push the wedding to be like November or Thanksgiving. Then I almost would have been like, yeah, that was a good amount of time apart. But I guess they also, we'll get into it with Wheels, wanted to speed up that process so we know like what happens, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, that too, just because court things take time.
Okay, anything else for Simon and Alexa?
Well, as we see in Next Generation, they work out long term, so very happy for them.
They sure do. They are the high school, they are the OG high school sweethearts. Yeah. Of Degrassi. They probably tried to make Joey and Caitlin that, but didn't really go that way.
Well, let's see why that is. This is gonna be a long one because this is most of the movie is Joey and his relationship drama. So take a seat, get some popcorn, because as I said, it's been a year since the end of last season and all of the OG grade eights are graduating, including Caitlin, who worked her ass off and is graduating a year early. So remember, Joey was held back, so he was in Caitlin's grade, so he is not graduating. But now Caitlin is a year ahead, so she is graduating despite being a year younger than Joey. Joey ends up getting Caitlin a $60 engagement slash graduation ring. And at Lucy's end of year party after the graduation, he pulls her aside and asks her to marry him, saying that we don't need to get married right away, but I do want to get married to you, you know, like after you finish college. And if you want, you could actually like decide to go to school nearby so that we could stay together. Caitlin, however, says no because she's too young and she is very set on going away for school. She's actually planning to go to the same school as Lucy and be roommates with her. So after this kind of soft rejection, Caitlin says, like, I still love you, but like, I just can't get married right now. He is upset and ends up leaving the party. Tessa is also at the party and she has been seeing this random guy named Todd. For some reason, she isn't with Yik, even though it seems like it's the same friend group because Yik and this Todd guy are smoking at the party. Tessa gets annoyed at Todd for smoking, saying that, like, I don't like how you are when you're stoned. And she also ends up leaving the graduation party. So she and Joey end up bumping into each other outside Lucy's house, and Tessa asks for a ride home. And during the ride home, they talk about their relationship issues, saying like, oh, Caitlin is, I don't know what's going on with her. After this, you know, 5-minute car ride, Tessa feels comfortable enough to kiss him goodnight. The next day, Tessa happens to be at Joey's, looks like he works at like a CVS or something like that. So she's like, oh my God, I forgot you worked here. What a coincidence. By the way, do you want to go on a date? Joey says yes. And pretty much immediately after he says yes and Tessa leaves, Caitlin then pops up and apologizes again for rejecting him, but reiterates that she wants to continue to be with him. He does end up going on the date with Tessa. He ends up having a fun time. What did they do? I think their first date was just going to a movie or dinner or something like that.
They went to the movies and then I'm pretty sure they got pizza after.
Yes. And then they end the night making out in a parking lot in Joey's car. Joey then ends up talking to Wheels about how great of a time he had with Tessa. And Tessa ends up talking to Spike at the photo shop that they work at about, you know, I went on a date with Joey. It was a great time. Joey is talking about how hot it was. Spike says, be careful. Joey and Caitlin have been on and off for years. But Tessa's like, oh, they're over. Don't worry about it. Joey, soon after that, then goes on a date with Caitlin, and at the end of the night he tries to have sex with her, but Caitlin says that she isn't ready, which Joey is very upset about. Tessa then calls Joey's house and invites him over for dinner. She's going to cook him a nice meal. He goes, he brings her flowers, but Tessa is a disaster as a cook. She ends up burning the garlic bread, she drops the spaghetti everywhere. But they end up having a fun food fight, and it ends with Joey and Tessa having sex. Joey is super happy about this, of course, so he ends up bragging about losing his virginity to Wheels and Snake, and as we'll talk about in a bit, Snake is especially bitter about now being the only virgin in the Zit Remedy. We then have a classic 80s movie montage where we have Joey going on dates with both Tessa and Caitlin. You know, I think they both have beach scenes where they like make out on the beach. During this montage, we see that Caitlin is busy waitressing. So kind of while Caitlin is busy working, Joey and Tessa are hooking up. But then Joey is still seeing Caitlin when she has time. So this is kind of like a bit of a time jump towards the end of the summer, because we then check in with Caitlin where she is talking to Lucy asking her about how sex is. And Lucy ends up giving her some tips, doing the classic, putting a condom on a banana. We then check in with Tessa, who has been starting to feel unwell, and she ends up going to the clinic and finds out that she's pregnant. She immediately makes an appointment for an abortion, and she ends up going to Joey while he's working to try to talk to him about it. But he is kind of trying to avoid her because it's his like birthday weekend or whatever. So he has plans to go out to dinner with Caitlin. So he doesn't want Tessa around at this point. So he kind of pisses Tessa off while she is trying to tell him that she is pregnant. And also, of course, Joey is lying to Tessa about like, oh, I'm going for a birthday dinner with my parents. You can't come, even though he's actually going with Caitlin. So he ends up actually having a good birthday dinner with Caitlin, where Caitlin says that, do you want to have sex? And they end up having sex. She's like, you were so patient with me all summer, and like, you deserve to have sex with me. Caitlin cries after having sex. It was kind of unclear why. She's like, oh, I feel close to you, but also I'm sad. I don't know. But Joey comforts her while she's crying. And after this, Caitlin then moves the graduation slash engagement ring from her right hand to her left hand, showing that she is now engaged to Joey. And she also decides that she wants to stay in town for college so that she could be with him. When Caitlin tells Lucy this, Lucy is pissed. She's like, I'm not going to be able to get into the dorms now. You're ruining my life. Why are you throwing your future away for a guy who won't last? Meanwhile, Tessa called Joey's house on his birthday to, you know, leave a cute little birthday message for him. But his mom picked up, cluing her in that Joey lied to her. So Tessa dumps him, and she ends up going to the clinic to get her abortion. And that is the last time we ever see Tessa Campanelli going into the clinic to get an abortion. We then kind of transition to the big climax, where Bronco is having an end of summer party at his lake house, and everyone is invited. The boys, the Zit Remedy, they drive up to the lake house, and Joey and Wheels are again teasing Snake about being a virgin, especially now that Joey reveals that he has now also slept with Caitlin. At the party, Joey is ecstatic when Caitlin pulls him aside to tell him that they're engaged and that she's staying. And while he's feeling on top of the world with this, he ends up teasing Snake again about not having a girl, and like, he's just jealous. Of course, after, we'll talk about this a bit more with Snake, but Snake is pissed about getting bullied by his friends all summer. So he nearly spills the beans about Joey and Tessa. But Wheels tells him to stop feeling sorry for himself, causing a fight between Snake and Wheels, causing Wheels to cool off with Lucy. Talk about that later as well. And Snake just kind of ends up staying inside to cool off. At some point during the party, Joey ends up going inside and ends up yelling at Snake for almost blowing it for him. So Snake goes off in the iconic scene about how Joey is so full of himself, doing the iconic Joey Jeremiah spending the summer dating Caitlin and fucking Tessa. But of course, Caitlin had walked in at this very moment and says the similarly iconic, you were fucking Tessa Campanelli. So Snake just kind of walks away from the situation, and Joey tries to make excuses, saying like, oh, she tempted me, it's not my fault, I didn't mean to, it meant nothing. But she throws the ring in his face and locks herself in a room while Joey is banging on the door trying to talk to her. Of course, lots of things happen at this party, which we will get to a bit later, but Joey then ends up going to talk to Snake as Snake is leaving for college, asking him to talk to Wheels, who is currently in jail, but Snake says he wants nothing to do with Wheels, and he's also pissed at Joey. Snake ends up apologizing for being the one to accidentally tell Caitlin about Tessa, but he ends up, you know, driving away to school with his mom, not really having made up with Joey. We then do the couple month time skip to Simon and Alexa's wedding, where now some time has passed, both Joey and Snake have cooled off. Joey ends up apologizing to Caitlin, and also to Snake, so Joey kind of makes up with both of them. And Caitlin ends up saying that her leaving was for the best, and it's good that they broke up, because being away at college has helped her grow up while she is studying journalism. When Caitlin asks if Joey still talks to Tessa, Joey says he does not talk to her. And the movie ends with Caitlin inviting Joey to dance as old friends.
Wow. That was impressive. So let's just get right into it since I feel like I just rewatched the whole thing again. So I think we might, we'll have to talk about your first comment that you have there. So why don't you start with that?
Okay, Tessa did nothing wrong. I'll say it.
Okay. Why do you say she did nothing wrong?
Because Joey explicitly told her that he and Caitlin were done. So what else was Tessa supposed to believe?
Even when Spike was like, just be careful, they're always off and on.
I
And
mean,
Tessa
yeah,
was.
she's naive, but it's not her fault that Joey lied to her.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's tough because I guess she was the other woman and she had no idea. And everybody else was pretty shitty for not saying anything, especially like Snake. Like, Snake's normally just such a good guy. And he just, like, I know he was like telling Joey it was shitty, but. Honestly, if I were him, I'd probably go and tell Tessa or Caitlin, but he wouldn't.
Well, but nobody in this movie is really friends with Tessa, right?
Yeah, but like they're kind of friends with Caitlin.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess that's kind of the weird thing, like, with the movie, that Caitlin's main group of friends before this was, like, Maya and Melanie and Kathleen, right?
Yeah.
So it was kind of off-putting how Caitlin is now suddenly besties with Lucy.
I don't know if it's off-putting because technically she did accelerate, right? And I'm assuming because she's so smart, she probably was in a lot of Lucy's classes. So I would say they probably spent the last year together building this like friendship.
Right, so like it makes sense, but I think I mentioned this before about how because they do the year time jump, they're able to kind of take a lot of liberties with like, the new status quo of things.
Right. So you mean like the new friendships and like that kind of thing?
Right, like Tessa is like she ended last season with Yik, but now she's with this random other guy who is also in Yik's friend group. Somehow.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. I was thinking the same thing because at first when I was watching it, I was like, wait, there's Yik. And then she goes, Todd. And I'm like, what? Who's
Yeah.
Todd? So
Yeah.
random.
So it was like they take the opportunity with the year time jump to just kind of change things up a bit, which it works because there is a time jump, but it's also like, okay, why does Caitlin like what happened to Maya? Where are Caitlin's friends? And so to your point that like, oh, why didn't like Snake tell Caitlyn before the fucking Tessa Campanelli thing? I don't think that Snake is necessarily friends with Caitlyn. Like he knows who she is, but they're not like close.
I guess. I mean, they're being invited to the same parties and stuff. But yeah, I guess you could say that. It's kind of hard though. It just feels like so many people know, you know? Like Spike knows that Tess is hooking up with him. And then.
Who's Spike talking to? Spike is just, taking care of Emma and working on the side.
Well, she knows because Tessa keeps talking to her about it at work.
Well, yeah, but like, who is Spike going to tell, is my
Oh,
point.
yeah, I'm just saying, like, so many people know. It's just like annoying that it gets kept under as such a secret for the whole time. But yeah, I guess technically Tessa did not do anything wrong. And the more I watch it, the more you can like tell she is just really into Joey, especially when she has that conversation with Spike and she's like, I hope he doesn't think I'm easy. And because she just really likes him.
Right. Like, honestly, she was so cute and like how she was crushing on him. And she's like, oh, I just wanted to leave you a birthday message on your answering machine. Like, that is so fucking cute. And she did not deserve anything that Joey did to her.
Well, I guess my question is because maybe the beginning I should have written more down for it, but when she makes a move on him in the car, did he say he was with Caitlin?
I think, in specifically in that car scene, he said that he didn't know what the status of the relationship was. So I could definitely see that first kiss maybe being a little bold of
Scandalous?
her. Scandalous, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely that first kiss was maybe she might have been a bit in the wrong there because things were unclear and he might have had a girlfriend.
Yeah.
But after that, like the next time they talk is when she pops into work, right?
Yeah.
So at that point, it's on Joey to say, like, no, I have a girlfriend.
I think one thing that was really interesting that I noticed this time around was that one point Joey makes to his friends is that he's like, I'm not asking Tessa to hang out. I'm not the one, I'm just agreeing, right? And it's true. The entire time, not like once, does he go out of his way to ask her to do something. Like she's calling him and is like, do you want to go to the movies? She's showing up to his work. Do you want to do this? Like, it seems like all of their plans she's making, and they have that whole blow up over the phone where she's like, do you even like me? Like, do you want me to go with you to these things? Like, you don't even want to spend your birthday with me. If I were her, I would, at that moment, I'd be like, all right, something's up, right? The fact that this man never is the one to initiate plans, the fact that he is like sketchy around his birthday, and then he won't bring her around. So, I mean, I guess she kind of starts to make those connections. Part of me wonders if like she was being a little naive, like up and I mean, from there on, I would say probably, but I think they kind of just break up at that point, right? Like on his birthday when she realizes that he like didn't go out to dinner with his family.
Right.
Yeah. It was tough. I mean, realistically, like I think that they would have been a better couple. I'm surprised that they didn't continue things into the school year. Like I understand Tessa was probably like, fuck this guy, but I also feel like Tessa was a little immature and would have continued to date him, but I guess that's not what happened.
Well, I think part of that is also the abortion.
Yeah, you want to talk about that?
Yeah. Because my most recent time watching it, I wasn't really sure why Tessa getting pregnant and having an abortion was necessary.
Right.
Because,
Okay.
like, really, the only time she only tries to talk about it with Joey once when he blows her off and says, like, oh, I have birthday things. I can't talk with you right now. And then they break up pretty much right after that. So it just kind of felt like Tessa getting pregnant was just a dramatic thing to happen as kind of like the first actual serious thing to happen in this movie before everything else blows up, especially because we don't see Tessa after the abortion. So it kind of feels like, what was the point? It was just kind of there to like have a dramatic thing happen, in my opinion.
I think it could be that, right? It could definitely be the drama of it, especially since they didn't follow up. I think another thing it could be is that we saw the past abortion plot and how difficult it was for, I don't even remember, Heather?
Erica.
Erica? I don't know why I said it. But Erica to like make that decision. Whereas for Tessa, it was immediate. She didn't even need to think about it. It kind of reminded me of later on when, what's her name? Gets
Ola.
pregnant. Thank you, Lola. I like can't get names today. When Lola like, gets pregnant and immediately is like, I'm getting an abortion. I feel like what is the point of doing another abortion plot? But at the same time, it was interesting to see her just be so like, this is what I'm doing. It's happening. I want it done before school. The end. There was no like, but what about no. Be and this time, actually, this is kind of something we were talking about last time. We know the father. He's there, right? That's where it's like kind of different this time around, where like he actually could be in the picture, but he's not because Tessa is taking this upon herself to be like, no way am I having Joey's baby, thank God, you know? So I
Well,
think that might be my only like support for why they would do it. They want to show that like some people aren't as indecisive about it.
yeah, I definitely like that aspect. It's just like for me, it's the fact that they don't show Tessa after the abortion that doesn't sit right with me. Where it's like, okay, they wanted to have the dramatic thing. A character has an abortion, but they didn't actually give the time to maybe see how that might have affected her or not affected her. Like we see her make the decision right away, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's how she feels after doing the abortion itself. So I feel like not showing her after it happens is kind of a disservice to the storyline and makes it more of the sensational like headline, Degrassi has abortion in the movie.
Right, like another. Well, probably because the first abortion plot like went over, I'm assuming, well, in like a sense, not in the United States, but like they probably were like, oh, what can we do? Let's do another one. But also they only had an hour and a half, so I'm not like one like that surprised that they didn't follow through with her. It did feel kind of open-ended though, when the way it ended with her and Joey just kind of felt like empty. Like I was like, oh, after all that, we spent this whole summer, him cheating on her, whatever, and like that's it. That was more of a bummer to me. I didn't really care too much about the aftermath of the abortion. I was more mad that they like ended it like that.
Right, because Joey ends up apologizing to Caitlin, but we don't see him apologize to Tessa.
Oh no, because he hates women. Like Joey has zero respect for women. Like I see that you compare Craig and Joey, right? Which is a good comparison considering Joey fucking raises Craig, right? And he's terrible. It's the their plots are so similar. Craig had the long-term girlfriend Ashley. He liked Manny on the side, so why not date both? ¿Por qué no los dos?
Both of the other women have an abortion.
Right. It is very interesting that the way it goes. But who do I think was worse? Personally, I think that Joey was worse because he proposed to her, to Caitlin. And although she said no and was like, I need more time, he continued to stay with her and lead her on, even though he was clearly like unhappy that they weren't getting engaged. Led this like whole thing with Tessa and then gets engaged again to Caitlin, like knowing full well that he spent the whole summer sleeping with someone else. I think if Craig and Ashley were as serious, were like getting engaged, whatever, like I would feel differently. But I think because we're supposed to believe that Joey and Caitlin's relationship is so serious that they're getting engaged, that this is just terrible.
Okay, before we get to that, I just want to get back to Tessa for a second. Just because, what did you say? Joey, you said Joey hates women, yes. But I like specifically for Tessa, like the fact that the narrative itself kind of they literally don't show her after the abortion. Like we see her walking into the clinic for the abortion, and we don't even see her have it. There is like a crack theory in the fandom that Tessa actually had the baby and there's a little Joey Jeremiah running around,
Oh
right?
my God.
Because we don't see Tessa after the abortion. I obviously don't believe in that theory because Joey says that he doesn't talk to Tessa at school. So that suggests that they see each other. So if they saw each other, Joey would see that she was still pregnant. But besides the point, the narrative itself throws Tessa away after the abortion. So they give a lot of time to Caitlin's feelings about the whole cheating, but they don't give any time to Tessa and her feelings. So they very much treat Tessa as the other woman, which is her role in the storyline, but they
Yeah.
don't have her, they don't treat her as like a full person with feelings. And they show that by not showing how she feels after this whole situation. And I think that kind of like it's a disservice and a little sexist in my opinion towards Tessa, because it kind of agrees with kind of the narrative that Tessa is an easy girl. Like she gets pregnant, they make the point that they used protection every time. So they're like, oh, they were having so much sex that she still got pregnant even with protection. And
Right.
then while Joey is talking shit about her, it's like, oh, it's her fault. She made me cheat. Tessa isn't there to like defend herself. And then even in Next Generation, they bring up Tessa a couple times in the context of like, oh, this is a girl in my past who like really did me wrong. Like, I think Joey brings up Tessa to Craig at some point where it's like, oh, they're better not, Tessa Campanelli better not be walking through my door or something like that.
Yeah.
So, like, the Degrassi itself frames Tessa in a negative light. When, as I said, Tessa really didn't do anything wrong or anything particularly egregious, even if you think she maybe was a bit naive in the situation.
Yeah. Well said.
Yeah, so that's kind of my dissertation on Tessa Campanelli, that Tessa did nothing wrong, but the narrative still frames her as having been like this villainous woman who tempted Joey away from his one true love, Caitlin.
Right.
Because honestly, in my opinion, Tessa and Joey are a much better match than Joey and Caitlin.
Oh, I mean, for sure. I think that they're definitely a better match. I think that Joey and Tessa had more fun together than he ever had with Caitlin.
Yeah.
Like, I think him and Caitlin have like that fun chase on the beach, but honestly, I couldn't even tell if it was Caitlin or Tessa half the time because the screen was so like bad. But yeah, I think that Joey and Tessa would have been a better fit. But I don't know why they kept pushing Caitlin and Joey.
Well, because they were the it couple of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High.
Which is so funny because I like barely consider them that since they've broken up. They were barely dating half the time, but I think they were apart more than they were together.
Yeah, I think so.
So that's why it's like, yeah. But yeah, I think what you said about Tessa is pretty solid. I think that's very fair. I think they kind of just used her and then threw her away.
Because also, as iconic as the "you were fucking Tessa Campanelli" line is, the fact that they reduce what Joey and Tessa did to just fucking is a disservice to, you know, their relationship.
Well, yeah, but Joey was saying it was that. Like, although Joey acted one way with Tessa, I think we saw his true colors when he would talk to his friends about it. That's the thing. Like, we could, like, Tessa, we definitely knew the whole time that she liked him through and through, had a crush on him, enjoyed spending time with him, like I said, asked him to hang out. And he just went with it because he had free time. He had so much free time. Caitlin's schedule, so busy. So he's just going to keep sleeping with Tessa. And that's how he described it to Snake and Wheels. So I think that's why Snake just said it, unfortunately, like that. Because Snake was under the impression that, like, it wasn't anything more than that.
That's true. My point is again, the narrative around Tessa.
Yeah.
That the story itself is framing Tessa as being a bad person, when everything that's shown to us is that Tessa didn't do anything wrong.
Right. Except she just dated a guy who happened to have a girlfriend and she didn't know. But it's really hard to be the other woman. Because half and half the time the other woman knows that there is someone else in the picture. This time she just didn't, unfortunately.
Yeah. Because as we talked about, I think, last time we talked about Tessa, she is a bit fickle in, like, her feelings for boys. Like, she did hop from, like, she thought Joey sent her the secret admirer note, right, when it was Alex. And then as soon as Yik gave her attention, she hopped to Yik. And then she, I guess, hopped from Yik to this Todd guy, and then from the Todd guy back to Joey. So she obviously is not very serious in her feelings for guys, or maybe more that she falls in love fast, maybe, is the way to say it.
I mean, she cheated on Alex.
That's true, too.
So she may be innocent, but there's also a piece of her that's, like, not as innocent as we'd like to think. Like, I wouldn't put it past her to have still hooked up with Joey, knowing he was still with Caitlin, as long as she was getting the attention from Joey. But that isn't the case in this.
Right. Like, I guess I could see a situation where Tessa did know about Caitlin, and then Joey was like, oh, I'm just trying to, like, be with her for the summer before she leaves.
Or, like, he's like, oh, I'm just trying to, you know, have a friendship. I don't want to leave things on the bad note.
Right. So I could definitely see Tessa continuing with Joey, knowing that Caitlin was still around.
Right.
Yeah. So not to say that she is 100% faultless, but in the situation that was shown to us, she didn't know. And she only got mad when she found out that Joey lied to her.
She didn't have any sympathy for Caitlin, right? There, when they were like, probably not, because it was probably so shocking. She was like, what?
I mean, I guess, I don't know if Tessa ever found out that Joey was still with Caitlin, technically.
I think she did, because she was like, oh, birthday dinner with your parents?
Well, she only knows that Joey lied to her about who he was with on his birthday. She didn't know necessarily who it was.
Oh, come on, Jasper. You know she knew. Who else would it be? You think she'd give a fuck if it was Snake?
But, like, yes, we don't know if Caitlin, or if Tessa felt bad about Caitlin. But, again, they don't tell us how Tessa feels about this situation. So we can't, they didn't give us anything from her perspective.
Okay, I think we gotta move on, because I think we spent like a half hour just on your love for Tessa.
Okay, so I do want to go back to the points you brought up a couple minutes ago about Caitlin and the parallels with Craig. Caitlin is super busy all summer, and Joey is not. The reason why Joey and Caitlin were honestly together all summer was because all of Joey's time was filled up with Tessa. I was trying to think of, if Tessa wasn't around, Joey would be nagging Caitlin all summer. Why are you not spending time with me? I want to have sex with you, but you don't want to.
Right, and they probably would have broken up at the beginning of the summer at that rate.
Right. So the whole reason why Caitlin decides to have sex with Joey is because you've been patient with me all summer. I've been so busy and you've been so good. But the reason why she perceives that is because his time was being taken up by Tessa.
Yes. Yeah,
So.
100%. I mean, they talk about their work schedules too. They're like, he works days and Caitlin works nights and weekends. So naturally, like, when would they even overlap? They wouldn't. So why wouldn't he go hang out with someone else? That makes sense. Absolutely.
So that just made the cheating on Caitlyn worse, I feel, because the whole reason why Caitlyn felt closer to Joey was because he was being mature over the summer, when that was the exact opposite of how he was acting.
Right.
When she finds out, like, that is just more crushing, I feel, to have been cheated on and to have kind of been manipulated into having stronger feelings for Joey because he wasn't being the way he normally would be because he was cheating on her.
No, I get what you're saying. That makes a lot of sense.
So I agree that the if we're comparing Joey to Craig, Joey's cheating was a lot worse because it was over a longer period of time. Joey and Caitlin were more serious than Craig and Ashley. There is the key difference though that Manny knew about Ashley when Tessa did not know about Caitlin. So that's an interesting difference there.
It is, but I think if we're thinking about who is worse, Craig versus Joey, that doesn't matter whether or not the girl knew.
Well, yeah, of course.
I think Manny knowing set the tone for who she's seen at as for the rest of her high school career,
Yes.
unfortunately. Whereas Tessa not knowing still didn't really, still kind of set her as like a joke, honestly. So it sounds like both, like if Tessa had known, it almost would have been like, it probably would have been the same. Honestly, same treatment. Like, maybe they would have had a cat fight. Who knows?
Well, because I guess what's most interesting to me, both Ashley and Manny take Craig back at one point or another.
Right. And so does
And
Caitlin. Caitlin takes
I
Joey back.
mean, hey, Caitlin takes Joey back, but like 15 years later. So I feel like they're different people at that point. Ashley and Manny take Craig back like within a year or two.
Right.
So I think, I don't know, is Craig more charming than Joey, maybe?
I mean, Craig also had a lot of shit going on. So I feel like there's part of it where it's like, oh, Craig, like
That's true.
you were bipolar. Then there's a chance he was a different person after that, you know? That's what I'm thinking. But I think that in this case, Joey's definitely worse than Craig. 100%.
Yeah, for
But like
sure.
just the way he led Tessa on was just so terrible.
Yeah, and then even the way that Joey and Craig were talking about their cheating, like I'm thinking specifically of a scene where Craig is bragging about having two girlfriends to Spinner.
Yep. Oh my God.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, like, Joey was doing the same shit with Snake and Wheels.
Yep. Exactly. And at least Snake was like, man, that's not cool. Like, don't do that. And Wheels was like, who cares? But he
Yeah.
was drunk, so.
How do you feel about Caitlin kind of forgiving Joey at the end?
Like, at the wedding?
Yeah.
I think because Caitlin's always gonna have a soft spot for Joey, right? Unfortunately, it's just one of those things where she's like, oh my gosh, he was gonna be like the love of my life, and then he fucked it up. I think it makes sense that she like forgives him, but also she knows that she doesn't live at home anymore. She's not gonna see him again, right? They're not gonna be forced to be in the same place at the same time until their 10-year reunion, basically. So I don't put it past her. I think she's always been mature. I think for her, like, it took a while for her to warm up to even talking to him at the wedding. So I think for her to, like, get to that point where she's like, yeah, whatever, fine. And then they, like, dance together, sure. I don't think it means anything more than just her being, like, taking the high road in this situation. Personally, that's what I think.
Yeah, just because going slightly back to the betrayal, I guess, Caitlin fully was planning to change her entire life plans because of, like I said, Joey lying to her and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So it does to me feel like you said, it hasn't really been that long. It's only been maybe 2 months. So for her to like not have really any resentment, I feel is slightly unrealistic, just because Joey nearly ruined her entire life.
But then she even says that he didn't. If anything, he like gave her these opportunities that she never would have had she stayed home. Like, I think
she's
thankful in a sense, not for him, but just like thankful that he fucked up, honestly.
Well, but again, if Joey hadn't cheated, she wouldn't have stayed or made the decision to stay, because Joey would have been a dick to her all summer about her time.
Well, that's an assumption. We don't know that for sure.
I mean, the way that even with him cheating on Caitlin, he was still being pushy about wanting to have sex with her.
Right, but he's always been pushy about wanting to have sex with everything.
But I think if he wasn't also having sex with Tessa, he would have been a lot pushier with Caitlin.
Okay, but you're assuming that. We don't know.
I mean, yes, I am assuming, but given what we know about Joey, I don't think that's an unfair assumption to make.
Then I'm going to say that Tessa knew that he was dating Caitlin because she cheated in the past. I think it's a close even call there. That's why you can't assume.
Well, regardless, if I were Caitlin and it had been less than 2 months since I got brutally cheated on by the guy I was engaged with and lost my virginity to, I would have been a bit more bitter than she was. So she's a better person than me.
Well, no, I mean, that's what I'm saying. She's always been like the more mature person. So it doesn't surprise me that they're putting her as the more mature person in this situation. You know, she's always been kind of like the mom, basically, or like the adult. I don't know. That's kind of how I always thought of her. So it doesn't like shock me that much.
Which again is why I think that Caitlin and Joey just will never work out.
Oh, and Degrassi also loves to have like, they needed to close that like book, right? They needed to be like, okay, they ended on good terms, like the end, right? Instead of like her being like, fuck you, Joey, at the wedding, and then it's just like really awkward and then it ends. Like, I'm not surprised that they ended it like that.
Well, in my opinion, Joey shouldn't end the movie in a good place.
Oh, I mean, no, he should also be in jail, but we can't.
Jail? Jail?
We're just being the worst, you know? Just being a terrible human.
I don't know about jail, but maybe like a sign on his head that says danger to women everywhere.
Maybe like sex addiction rehab. Who knows?
So I think those are all of my thoughts about the love triangle and the cheating and the abortion and everything. Okay. Do you have anything else?
No, I think you've said it all.
Okay. So now I think we need to wrap up Caitlin and Joey's characters.
Okay. I mean, it's crazy because they've been there since the beginning.
Yes.
Even when Caitlin was just kind of someone you'd like see in the hallway once in a while.
Her headband.
Yes. I don't know. I always liked her. I kind of liked her character. She was kind of like Diet Emma, in my opinion. You know, she like wanted to do her like environmental things, and she wanted to do petitions and whatnot, and she wanted to like fix people that shouldn't be fixed, but she also was willing to kind of learn from her mistakes as well, which like Emma I don't know about that, but I do think overall she was one of the more consistent characters. What do you think?
I agree. She always had the like at least one crusade every season, right? Except, I guess, would you say that her crusade last season was against her cheating dad?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Because everybody was like, chill out, Caitlin. And she's like, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense, though. I still hate that storyline, but if that was her like social cause for this season, that makes more sense. But I guess something I noticed in the movie was Caitlin doesn't really have like that opinionated self in the movie, besides like kind of being sure about going to school for journalism, I guess. So I guess that was a bit of my disappointment with Caitlin specifically in the movie, that she was just kind of Joey's girlfriend rather than Caitlin Ryan. But overall, like you said, she's definitely, she's easier to like than Emma, despite them being the same character archetype. But yeah, really the two parts of her are like her crusades and Joey.
I think that they kind of kept her crusades on like I said, like diet version, because we also had Lucy, who was also doing a lot of school related crusades. So for Caitlin to kind of end the her career with like the crusade against her dad kind of makes sense when like Lucy is doing the crusade against like the PE thing, like, or the gym and the sports and whatnot
Yeah.
in the beginning. So they can't have both of them constantly protesting the school. It's gonna make the school look bad, even though it is. But yeah, overall, I really like Caitlin. I do enjoy her. I think once they bring her back in the future, I don't really like her too much. I don't feel like she is as similar as she was to how, like, when she was younger, which I didn't really like.
Yeah, I think we talked about this a long time ago when we had that mini episode about Joey and Caitlyn and Next Generation. Like, Caitlyn is just a ditzy blonde in Next Generation, and it's really disappointing after seeing like how strong of a person she is here.
Oh yeah, especially with her hooking up with what's his name?
Ellie's boyfriend.
Oh my God. Ellie's boyfriend, and then cheating on Joey with the
Kevin
comedian.
Smith.
Yeah, Kevin Smith. Like,
My
what
God.
even was, I mean, I understand that they probably had her cheat on him because like payback, but yeah, not cool, not cool.
Yeah, but like in Next Generation, Caitlyn is just not the same person. Like she is apparently the same crusader type of person with the environment because she has like her own environmental show or whatever.
Right.
But that's just kind of something about her. That's not something that she engages with when she is on the show, at least.
Yeah. So I think like the overall review for her is that she was consistent when she was on Degrassi Junior High High, but then when she went to Next Generation, she was almost like a new character.
Yeah, same face. Still, I mean, I would say she's even more obsessed with Joey in Next Generation than she ever was here.
Yeah, I think I have to watch next. Like, I have to watch it sooner than later now that I've seen this all the way through. Because I really don't even think Caitlin likes Joey at all, but whatever. Who knows?
Yeah, honestly, we've talked about this every time we've talked about Joey and Caitlyn, where it's like, what does Caitlyn see in Joey?
Honestly, they should have just made her a lesbian like we thought she was gonna be in the beginning.
That would have been so good.
I think she would have killed it. It would have been good. Her and Lucy could end up together. It would have been great.
Lucy and LD are endgame for me.
Oh my God, LD. She's sailing around the world, Jasper. You can't catch her.
Catch me or I go. But yeah, at least in junior high, I like Caitlyn. She's not my favorite, just because I do not like Joey and Caitlyn as a couple. They're sometimes entertaining, but most of the time they just frustrate me. So it's like it's hard for me to like be entertained even just because I'm like I don't care for this relationship.
Right.
Honestly, she should have just they should have kept little baby Rick around and had Caitlin get with him.
Oh my God. They really should have.
Okay, what about Joey Jeremiah?
Ugh. I mean, he's just like the only good quality that he has, which we've talked about this, is that he can be a good friend when there's like a serious thing going on. He showed up for Snake after Snake found Cloud's body, right? And he was also there to support Dwayne with like the HIV AIDS thing, which like was crazy because like he was bullied by this guy mercilessly, right? But outside of just him being like a good friend during a serious time, like he was even, I would even say he was a good friend to Caitlin after Cloud's death as well, right? Overall, he's a shit person. Terrible person. Like, terrible people can have good moments, but he is just, that's it. He's just not a good dude.
Yeah,
Doesn't
like
respect women. Like, look back at the Liz situation. Like, there's just nothing, no redeeming qualities at all.
Yeah, like the most consistent thing about him is that he is sexist and an asshole to women.
Yep. No respect for women. I wish his mom would slap him around or something. Like, she just lets him act like this.
Because, like I mentioned a couple times now, he was mostly just using Tessa to kind of entertain himself while Caitlin was busy.
Right.
I do think he did actually have feelings for her, but like the crux of it was like, I have nothing better to do than hang out and have sex with Tessa.
Yeah. I mean, he was like definitely riding the line. It was very difficult for us to like even tell. We're like, does he like her? Does he not? Like, but also, like we said, he doesn't respect women. He doesn't care about women. There's a chance he had no feelings for Tessa like at all and still continued to do this because he was bored.
Yeah, because even despite everything he's saying about like, oh, I love Caitlyn, like Caitlyn is my girl forever and always, he does not respect Caitlyn or her life goals. Like he's pressuring her to have sex with him despite her saying no multiple times, and he's pressuring her to stay in town when she is very clearly, I want to go away for college so I can have a better career.
And he's cheating on her the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm 100% on there for sure. Like, he is terrible.
So I think for Joey, he just likes getting attention from girls. He doesn't really view them as people and like someone to like have a partnership with. He's like, I just want to have a girlfriend for the status or for the sex. Like
Yeah,
he
100%.
doesn't respect them as people in their own right.
No, if we know anything about Joey, it's that he wants the attention, he wants the popularity, he wants to be able to say he's not a virgin anymore. Like, he doesn't care about how he gets it, but he'll do it. But you think he redeems himself in The Next Generation?
I mean, he at least apologizes. I do think he's definitely better in Next Generation. Caitlyn is definitely worse, but I think Joey's definitely better.
I would never have guessed adult Joey like would have acted like this as a child.
Like, I don't really think adult Joey really ever does anything wrong, except maybe he low-key cheats on that Sydney girl with Caitlyn. But I think we talked about how Sydney was also done wrong in that situation for the sake
Yeah.
of the iconic Joey Caitlyn couple.
Exactly. She just got in the middle, unfortunately.
Yeah. But like Joey was a great dad to Angela. He was great with taking Craig in and kind of dealing with all of Craig's bullshit. So I definitely think Joey is better as an adult. It's hard to say if he respects women as an adult. I would probably need to rewatch.
Yeah, we definitely have to rewatch that one to see. Because
Yeah,
I don't remember.
I can't think of anything one way or the other about whether he views women as people.
I mean, there's also a chance that he respects women a little more because he has Angie.
Oh, that's true too.
You know, and for some reason that somehow turns some men around. They're like, oh, I have a daughter. I guess women are people.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
So going back to teenager Joey. Did Joey learn from this situation where he got dumped by both girls?
What? No. You think he did?
He at least apologizes to Caitlin at the wedding, and that's all I could give him.
I could guarantee he apologized because he wanted to get laid.
I did not get that vibe at the wedding.
Well, yeah, he's also probably like a kicked puppy, right? All of his friends left. He's got nothing. He might as well just have, I don't know. I don't think he turned into a better person in 2 months. Like you said, Caitlin wouldn't should be more angry, right? Caitlin should be still angry about this. So Joey would still be a shit person. Like, it's not like he would just change his tune. He just got caught. That's the thing.
But does he take responsibility for his actions is maybe my real question.
I think the only way he could do that is if he apologized to Tessa too.
I agree.
He apologized to Caitlin because he loved Caitlin and he's disappointed that he fucked up this relationship, right? But he doesn't give a fuck about Tessa.
And as I said, in Next Generation, he is constantly bringing, maybe not constantly, but he brings Tessa up to like shit on her and be like, oh, this is this terrible woman from my past.
Right? Yeah. So I don't know how real the apology is. I'd say it's like 60% real, right? He felt like he had to do it, but he also like kind of felt like he meant it. But then the rest is probably just because he had no other friends. He has no more friends. His friends don't want to hang out with him. He's a shit person.
Yeah, because Wheels is in jail and And to the point that Joey is good in serious situations, he was being a good friend to Wheels when he was in jail.
Right.
But then he lost Snake as a friend, and then he has no friends in high school. I guess maybe Yick and Arthur, as we talked about,
But
but
would you even like be friends with Joey? Like, Yick dated Tessa. Like, you'd like to think he has some respect for Tessa, at
me
least more
too.
than Joey would. Like, I'd be like, ew, I don't want to be with this dude at all, personally.
I am glad that Joey didn't graduate though. He definitely needs another year in high school to
To cook. Yeah, he is immature. Can't spell immature without Joey.
cook. But as we talked about, Joey is the main character of, this era of Degrassi. So what do you think about that with, he was the main character of this movie. He was pretty much the main character, I would say, from the point Stephanie left.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where it's like a little disappointing. It's not like more of a girl lead, right? It's almost as if like Degrassi made Peter the main character and you just had to keep watching him like do these terrible things to people. And then you're like, oh my God, except for the one moment where he like might be good. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much growth Joey actually had. I feel like he got humbled a few times, but overall, I feel like he was just an immature dude.
Like he definitely has his moments. It's just, yeah, like you said, it's hard to say how much he's grown because he's been the same terror to women from day one to now.
Right.
So maybe he's matured a bit with respect to like how he views himself as like a, like at least in school, I could maybe see him having some growth there. But yeah, with this movie and him playing two girls and not feeling bad about it, it's just hard to say.
I agree. I think that's fair.
But it does make sense why he is the main character, because he is probably the best actor on the show, for sure.
I would agree with that. I mean, I think Wheels is pretty solid, but they don't really give him too much to show it. But I agree. I think him and Caitlin are pretty strong actors.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me that they're paired together.
And then as a character, Joey is like funny sometimes. Maybe he was funnier in an 80s context.
Right. He's the class clown, you know? He's that guy.
Yeah, like it's interesting because we've talked about Joey being a parallel for Craig primarily, but I think at one point we talked about how Joey was also kind of a parallel to JT.
I would agree, especially with the desire to be popular
Yeah.
and well-liked, for sure.
So he's kind of a combination of Craig and JT, who I would say are probably the most loved male characters of the first couple seasons of Next Generation, before Eli, of course.
Yep, I would
So
say so.
it makes sense why he is the main character here, being the combination of two of the most popular characters.
Right. That's true. That's actually really good. I didn't think about that.
But I think that's all I have.
Was gonna say, I think we spent about an hour just talking about them alone, so
I mean,
I don't know.
they are the main plot of the movie, so
They sure are. But I think we did it as well.
yeah, but we're not done yet.
No, we're not. And Jasper's gonna tell you a little bit about Snake.
Okay, so a lot of this obviously has a lot of overlap with Joey because most of the movie is Joey pissing Snake off for having two girlfriends. But for a quick summary, Snake has a lifeguarding job over the summer, and his primary reason for getting this job is because he really wants to get a girlfriend from lifeguarding and lose his virginity finally. So on his first day on the job, he tries to flirt with some girls, but he ends up falling in the pool. He then ends up spending the summer not getting any dates. He ends up flirting with a mom by accident. But the main point of Snake's storyline here is that he gets increasingly irritated with Joey, finding out that he is seeing both Caitlin and Tessa when Joey starts having sex with Tessa and then has sex with Caitlin. And then both Joey and Wheels are teasing Snake throughout the whole movie about being the only virgin in the group. They continue to tease him when Snake is like whining about how shitty of a summer he's had, especially after Joey has slept with Caitlin. So When it gets to Bronco's party, the teasing continues when Joey gets engaged to Caitlin, and Snake kind of starts to boil up a bit. He nearly spills the beans, which causes a fight with Wheels, where Wheels tells him to stop feeling sorry for himself. And then again, we have the scene, fucking Tessa Campanelli scene, where Caitlin overhears and Snake ends up leaving the situation. While moping about his life by the lake, Amy and Allison, they're super drunk. They take a canoe into the lake and the canoe flips over and Allison starts drowning. So Snake, being a lifeguard, he jumps into the lake immediately and saves her. But afterwards, he seems a bit kind of shaken up by the whole situation. And then, of course, everything happens with Wheels. And so Joey then goes to talk to Snake, asking him to talk to Wheels, but Snake wants nothing to do with him. And he's also still pissed at Joey. He apologizes to Joey for, you know, outing him with Caitlin. But Snake ends up going off to college. And then we have the 2-month time skip to the wedding, where Snake comes with his new college girlfriend, Pam, who he introduces to Joey, saying that Joey is an old friend of mine. So Joey and Snake kind of make up and they make plans to meet up for the week while Snake is in town. And we also get a point that Snake thinks that he is going to consider riding to Wheels. And that is how things kind of end for him.
Yeah, I honestly kind of wished Snake had like a better ending. That's all I kept thinking about this entire time. I was like, I was excited for him to be a lifeguard, right? That's so exciting. That is like the classic summer job. He's like, I'm gonna get so many girls. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's like always cute. And then it just got weird. Like, it wasn't cute and quirky. Like, I think the one scene I did like was when the little girls were like chasing around the pool and he was like, stop running in the pool because they liked him. But his obsession with getting laid that entire summer was like too much for me. I think if he tried less, there's a chance that somehow it could have happened.
Right. Because the reason he was getting so frustrated was because he was trying so hard. And I think the fact that he was trying hard made him less likely to have success.
Yeah, because that's like how it works. Women can tell when you're creepy. Sorry, Snake.
Yeah. And then he was then getting mad at Joey and Wheels because they were teasing him, but they were teasing him because he was whining about it, showing how insecure he was.
Right? Do we know who Wheels hooked up with?
Who did he say? Some random girl named Karen?
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was someone we knew or not, but
yeah, yeah. It was just some random girl.
Okay.
But yeah, like, I pretty much already talked all about this the last time we talked about Snake. But like, this whole storyline just doesn't make sense for him because he ends last season in a love triangle with Michelle and Spike. And now a year later, he apparently has no girls and he's upset about it. It's like, what happened?
Right? Yeah, because I'm trying to think. Yeah, it's such a shame we don't know who people went to prom with. Because I would have loved to know if him and Michelle went to prom. Like, did they have a falling out? Like, what even happened? But yeah, it sounds like Snake just kind of turned into a dick.
Yeah. And you know what? That's probably why Michelle was not in the wedding. Because they were like, we can't have Michelle there because then we'd have to explain what happened between Michelle and Snake.
True. But it also would have taken like less than a second if they just like, if things just didn't work out.
Yeah.
Like they did with like Tess. They didn't even tell us what happened with Tessa and Todd. They're just like, this is Todd.
Yeah.
It was just kind of a bummer because I think Snake just like took things way too personally from Wheels and Joey, both who are also terrible people. Like Snake isn't a terrible guy, but then also if you associate yourself with terrible people, it probably turns you into one.
That's a good point.
That's kind of how I look at it because like, although like the best part about Snake, I think, in this whole thing is how he ends. He says, well, not before, like before the wedding, he basically is like, I'm not talking to Wheels because he was drunk. He killed a kid. Like, I'm not being friends with someone like that. And Joey, you also are a terrible person. You fucked over Caitlin. You fucked over Tessa. I'm going to school. I'm calling it. Like, I think that was like the biggest moment for Snake that showed his like maturity. He's not going to entertain these guys anymore, right? He's over it. He's moving on to bigger and better things. And that's when I was like, okay, that's what I like to see.
Because actually, I'm going to show the iconic scene because even though what most people think about it is with Joey and Caitlin, what I think it tells us the most about is about Snake.
And isn't this the first time they use the F word on TV?
On Canadian television, yes.
Love it. I put that on my resume so fast.
So let's show it. Even though everyone listening could probably quote it word for word, I feel like it would be a disservice for us to not show it. So let's go.
What were you trying to do back there? You almost blew it for me. I could have killed you. Don't you ever do anything like that again.
When are you gonna learn to lighten up and take a joke?
It's not a joke to me, Joey. You're just so full of yourself. Joey Jeremiah, what a studly guy.
Let's recap the Jeremiah summer, shall we? See what a swell and decent human being you've been.
You have to listen to this.
No, you're gonna listen to me. Joey Jeremiah spends his summer dating Caitlin.
Shut up.
And fucking Tessa. Oh, what ethics. What a hero. Let's have a great big hand, shall we? Big round of applause, hey? Yes, all right.
Snake's got a really weird sense of humor.
Tessa Campanelli? You were fucking Tessa Campanelli?
No.
Don't lie to me, Joey.
Caitlin, it's not what you think.
Then what is it?
Okay, obviously I extended the scene there so that we could have Caitlin also saying the iconic fucking Tessa Campanelli. But yeah, like to your point that at the end of the movie when Snake drops Joey and Wheels, like that scene is the breaking point of that.
I mean, I especially, like, I forgot how rude Joey was to Snake. Don't you ever do that to me again. Oh my God, I would so out someone after that. What are you, yeah. My parent, Joey, my God, it's just so rude. Like, Joey has no respect for Snake either. That's the thing. Like we said, he's good during a rough time, but every other time he just seems annoying and like inconsiderate and irresponsible and immature. All the above.
Yeah, because again, it makes sense why Joey and Wheels were teasing Snake, because it was clear how insecure he was about the situation. But at some point with things like that, it gets to the point where it's not teasing your friend and it's bullying them and making fun of them.
Right. Yes.
And, you know, after the whole summer of Snake being upset about not having a girlfriend, regardless of how realistic or in character that may have been, the fact that Joey and Wheels kept ragging on him just made sense why he got so fed up by that point. Because there's also an element of jealousy there as well, right? Like, Joey has two girls and I can't get any.
Yes. I mean, there absolutely was jealousy. And I think it just was in a sense that Wheels was working on this car and it worked. It worked out and it's actually drivable, right? And then Joey has two girlfriends. And what does Snake walk away with at the end of the summer? A tan, maybe? Like, not even. So I get it. There's definitely some jealousy, but I think you're right. I think it got to the point of bullying and Snake snapped and it was well deserved. It just was terrible timing that Caitlin happened to walk in, but I'm glad she did because it was such an iconic scene.
Yeah. And then he ends up saving Allison's life. So he does kind of have a success in that way.
Yeah, I don't really care about that. Not gonna lie, that whole scene was weird. I think we could have just done without the drowning. That didn't happen.
Well, yeah, so that was kind of my point with the abortion. That, like, that was the first, like, actual serious thing that happened in the movie, and then it just escalated from there, where you have the serious thing, and then you have somebody almost drowns, and then Wheels gets into a car crash and kills a child, right? Again, that goes back to what we talked about at the very beginning, that these movies kind of allow themselves to not be as realistic.
Yeah.
And they could really up the drama. But the drowning was just kind of an aspect of that. Because actually, now that I think about it, using the F word for the first time is maybe also a part of that, making it as dramatic as possible. Using a swear word that has not been used before in television.
I would think so. I mean, Degrassi did a lot of topics that were never covered. Like we said, they did abortion. They did teen suicide. They did teen pregnancy. They did saying the F word on television. Like, they were known for going all out. And I think it was important that Snake said the F word. I don't know why I'm acting like I don't say it, but only because it really gets the point across about how done he was with that whole situation. The entire time he was saying it was a bad idea, how it's not fair to Caitlin, and then it just, he snapped, and I respect it.
Yeah. And even though the whole drowning thing maybe wasn't necessary, I do kind of like the scene because the camera kind of lingers on Snake like after he saves her.
Yeah.
And it kind of gave me the same vibe of the face he had when he kind of had the breakdown about Claude.
Yeah, I thought the same thing too. That's what I was wondering. I was like, is this the connection that like people who know him know that he's not over finding someone dead, right? And then he almost was in a situation like he wanted to be a lifeguard, but he never really thought about what could potentially happen as a lifeguard. Like, the person either dies or lives. Like, those, that's the two options there, right? So he's choosing this career, this job for the summer after already having this traumatizing experience with finding someone dead, saving someone's life, and yet he's still like having a panic attack about it,
right?
So if we want to go deep into that, that would make sense. But I think the only people that would pick up on it are people who have watched it consistently enough to know that this scene with him being zoomed in on could connect to the suicide.
Right. So I'd say the drowning is, I don't think it was unnecessary. It was obviously overdramatic, but I think having Snake save somebody's life, you know, having been a lifeguard and, you know, being so in his feelings about having no successes, I think him saving somebody helped his character at least make him not as terrible of a person and in Sully as he has been up until this point in the movie.
Right. Where would you like to go with Snake next?
Oh, so something I thought was interesting was, it felt like Joey, like with Snake being pissed at both Joey and Wheels, it felt like Snake was more pissed at Joey than at Wheels in general. But he ends up forgiving Joey, but he doesn't forgive Wheels at the end of the movie. So I thought that was interesting because Joey was kind of the bigger villain in the situation.
I mean, is it interesting? Because Wheels killed a child.
Yes. But
like, what? Like, sorry, but if Wheels didn't kill someone, then like I could see you bring up that point. But honestly, like, Wheels drove drunk and killed someone and hurt their friend to a point where they weren't even sure if she'd be able to like walk again, let alone see. So yeah, you're not friends with that guy. Sorry. Like, I know Joey had two girlfriends, but there's like, you can't even compare it.
Oh, I mean, I'm just thinking from the personal beef side. It feels like Joey is able to forgive Wheels for what he did, right? But Snake doesn't even consider it, you know?
So Joey forgives Wheels for what he did because Joey is also a bad person. Joey feels guilty about all the shit he did that naturally he's like, well, we gotta fix things with Wheels. You know, Wheels, he's our friend, like trying to be like, I'm your friend too, so we could fix things. And Snake's like, fuck off, both of you. I don't want to do anything with you guys. And I get it. I wouldn't either.
Yeah, I guess I am equating Joey's cheating to Wheels killing somebody, which is maybe a bad comparison to make.
I see what you mean. Like, I think if you want to leave off that last scene with Wheels, like, Snake is definitely harder on Wheels throughout the entire thing. Right. We see that when Wheels is like, hey, can I stay with you? And Snake doesn't even give him the time of day. He's like, you can sleep on my porch, but like, that's it. And like, it just kind of seems like even when Snake hangs out with Wheels, it doesn't really feel like they're like friends almost. It just is kind of like weird. Like, he's kind of over Wheels already, it seems like. It's like, hey, why are you drinking so much? And Wheels is just like so reactive to it. So I think that Wheels was already kind of like on Snake's like last straw, in my opinion. And Joey has always been like there for Snake. So I think he would pick Joey over Wheels. And then Wheels killing someone kind of just solidified that.
Okay, that makes sense.
I think that's where you were going. Like, I just thought it was so funny the way you were like, I'm like, Jasper, if I killed someone, I don't think you'd want to be my friend anymore. But I do, like, yeah. So I think my point, I do agree with you in that sense.
Because the only thing that I was thinking was Snake is usually like a goody two shoes, right? So I was thinking that he felt really bad about being the one to out Joey and Tessa to Caitlin. So he was like, in his mind, he's like, oh, this was a really bad thing that I did, even though Joey maybe deserved it. But because I did a bad thing and Joey did a bad thing, it cancels itself out. So I can forgive Joey now, but I can't forgive Wheels.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I also think that like we said, Joey's kind of just been a shitty person this whole time. So for him to have two girlfriends the entire summer, like, and Snake didn't do anything prior to that. He didn't try to end it, you know. I mean, he's like, that's a bad idea, and that was like the extent. So very interesting.
Okay, so what about Snake overall?
Snake overall, I mean, each season he got a little more. Right? Like, they kind of started, they gave him some plots once in a while. I honestly, out of all of the characters to continue on Degrassi forever, I would not have picked him. He would not have been my like first choice. I would never expect him to be someone who's like, you know, still on it to this day, but.
So I feel like Snake is the perfect character though for that. Because he, like, out of all of the most main characters, I feel like Snake is the least dramatic of them.
Oh, for sure.
So it makes sense that everybody knows who he is because he's always around in other characters' plots, but he isn't really the most dramatic person himself, which then makes sense as to why he is now a teacher.
Yeah, I could see that. And he just kind of stayed around at the school. Yeah, okay.
So
That makes sense.
like obviously the idea with Snake being a teacher at Degrassi was like just having another connection to the past besides Emma and Spike, right?
Yeah.
And what other character would fit as a teacher at Degrassi?
I mean, they could have brought back Lucy, but I guess if they wanted it to go the way that they did, where like he marries somebody that went to Degrassi, right? And then they have a kid together and like life goes on. I guess like it makes sense. I just think he was just kind of one of those watching it through with and pretending to not know what comes next. I really just don't think he leaves a lasting impression.
He doesn't, but you still know who he is, and he is like, I'd say, in the top five memorable characters from the show. Right? So I'd say, like, Joey, Caitlin, Lucy, Wheels, Snake, I would say are like the big hitters for the whole junior high high.
Okay, I don't really think they gave Snake too much, but
They didn't, but he is still always around as a friend and like a support character in other people's plots.
right, so then he just kind of continues being a support character in the future.
Right. So he's a support character here, so he's a support teacher for all the students.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I mean, I didn't love him, I didn't hate him. I didn't really care that much. I think like it would have went on without him, but
I was thinking for these episodes, what is Snake's character arc? He doesn't really have one. The only thing I could think of is that he's always unlucky in love, right? Like
yeah.
he like tried several times to date Melanie and that didn't work out. Michelle didn't work out for some reason. Amy and Allison had a crush on him at some point.
Right.
I feel like he is kind of the epitome of like the usual high school guy. right? He's not super dramatic, but everyone kind of likes him.
He's just the average dude.
Yeah. Do you think being a teacher fits Snake's character with where he ends as a teacher yourself?
I mean, he did like absolutely nothing to show that he had any interest in the career. But I think if he wanted to be a music teacher, I wouldn't have been surprised, because he likes music, you know, played in that band. Like, I would have been like, okay, I get it. But yeah, I mean, everyone who doesn't want to be a teacher at some point, you know? And he did it.
Yeah, and he's like the computer science teacher.
Right. Sorry, I don't have strong feelings about Snake. I'm ready to move on.
So I think we're finishing things off kind of tragically with Wheels. So let's get to it. Wheels starts the movie. He ends up getting a shit car and he basically spends the summer trying to fix it up himself. His motivation really is that he wants to fix the car so that he could spend the summer road tripping to his girlfriend Karen, who he apparently lost his virginity to, but also lives on the other side of the country for some reason. And he's also excited to finally stop living with his grandparents. So throughout the movie, he's just kind of the person that Joey goes to when he wants to be encouraged to cheat on Caitlin with Tessa. And then he eventually ends up getting the car fixed. And Snake ends up pointing out that, like, Wheels, you've been kind of drinking a lot. What's up with that? But Wheels says, oh, whatever. It's just some beer. And then, of course, at the lake house, after his fight with Snake, Lucy tells Wheels to go get some chips from the store with her to basically get Wheels to cool off. But he's been drinking for, like, you know, at least the past hour. So he ends up causing an accident where a 2-year-old child dies and Lucy gets seriously injured. Lucy potentially is going blind by the end of the movie and might not be able to walk again. So because of this, Wheels ends up going to jail. He's getting charged with drunk driving and criminal negligence. Joey ends up visiting Wheels in jail, and Wheels is upset that Snake won't talk to him. He's saying, like, oh, it's not my fault. Like, Lucy's the one who wanted chips. It's not my fault the kid wasn't wearing a seatbelt, blah, blah, blah. And that's kind of where we leave him. You know, we do the 2-month skip to the wedding, where we find out that Wheels is pleading guilty and will likely be in jail for a long time. And we also find out that Lucy, after 2 months, has vision in one eye and she is continuously improving every day.
All right, this is it. Our big wrap up. Wheels. What an interesting guy.
Interesting is one word for it.
He has just had a downward slope since his parents died, unfortunately. And I think that can be pretty realistic for how trauma can impact a person, unfortunately. I mean, I'm not shocked that Wheels was acting like this, because he was just so awful in the last season with lying and stealing and running, like, you know, getting kicked out of his home, never really learning how to accept responsibility for his actions. And then we just see it again. Him in that scene with Joey saying, it wasn't my fault the kid wasn't wearing a seatbelt. Oh my God. If I were Joey, I would have hung up and walked away. Like, no wonder Snake doesn't want to be this guy's friend anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, hearing that, absolutely not.
Like I said, at the end of last season, where Wheels kind of ends off, like, I'm gonna fix things, Joey. I'm gonna be a better person. So that was kind of like dramatic irony. Is that the term?
Yeah, I would say definitely ironic.
That
went down.
Obviously, there's a whole year in between then and now, but it's pretty clear that he has not really made any meaningful moves to improve himself at this point. So yeah, all of that was just talk, as, you know, we said might have been the case.
Yeah. And as I was watching, because we knew obviously how this went, I was trying to like pick up on when he started drinking, like when he first was picking up the beer to like drink as he was working on the car. I personally didn't notice anything until like about halfway through the movie. Did you notice if it was any sooner?
I don't think so. I think it was when Snake points it out.
I think there was one scene before where he was working on it and trying to get it to start and he was drinking. And I was like, oh, okay, there it is. And then when Snake calls it out and he's like, They're my bosses. He doesn't mind. I do it all the time. Like, then we're like, oh, we're getting some insight into the fact that this has been happening all summer. And then obviously we know how it ends.
Yeah. To me, it's just sad because I just think of that one scene in the season when his parents died, when Joey gets the case of beers and Wheels like, I'm not drinking that shit. That's what killed my parents.
Yeah. And then since then, he's just, like we said, total character change, unfortunately, just downhill.
Yeah. Obviously, in the context of the movie, it's just kind of showing that, like, he's an asshole to Snake the whole movie. He's encouraging Joey's cheating. He keeps saying, like, oh, I'm almost ready to move out of my grandparents. Thank God. Like, there's really nothing good to say about him in this movie.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's kind of just like the devil on Joey's shoulder the whole time and just straight up bullying Snake. So I think it makes sense that Snake wasn't so willing to forgive him, because could you imagine being treated like that all summer by someone you think is your friend?
Yeah.
And then all of that happens. It's really hard to forgive someone like that.
And then obviously the biggest irony in all of this is Wheels was orphaned by a drunk driver, and then he then takes another parent's child away by drunk driving. So I don't know if there's anything more to say about that other than, like, that's obviously very purposeful and just showing, like you said, the trauma and how it affected him over time. Or maybe not even necessarily the trauma, because as we talked about last season, like, it's not the trauma that's making him act out. It's like the trauma that kind of put him in the bad headspace that then created the habits of him acting out and being a bad person.
I forgot we agreed on that.
What do you think?
Like, why do I think he did it?
No, just like the narrative, I guess, of the irony of drunk driving parallels.
Oh, I mean, it just kind of shows how little Wheels cared about other people. And that we saw through the whole last season was Wheels did not care about other people, right? He only cared about himself. And that was the whole issue that he was having with finding a place to stay. No one wanted to house him because he was stealing from them, or he wasn't, like, contributing, or he was, like, treating people like terrible, like his poor grandparents. Just things like that. So for him to then just be so inconsiderate and drive drunk with Lucy in the car, as well as, you know, and then crashing and killing a child and then not even take responsibility for it. Like, it all fits. It all fits. There's not, you know, it's bad. It's sad to watch. But in this case, it isn't one of those things where it's like, oh no, they did a bad thing to a person so that they could have a character arc. For him, he did the bad thing and he's not going to have a character arc, because this was his character arc, was just like being a bad person.
Yeah. Like, my view of, like, Wheels's character overall is, you know, the tagline or the theme song of Degrassi, at least in Next Generation, is whatever it takes, I know I can make it through. Wheels is the only character who that does not apply to.
Yeah.
Besides the, you know, JT and Cam and Adam, who also died, but people who live and do not make it through is Wheels.
Yes.
He's the only one.
Exactly.
So it's really just a sad character arc. Because really, before his parents died, I think I mentioned this last time, like, he was just a cute kid with a crush on Stephanie. And then, like, in the literal ninth grade, his parents die and his whole life is ruined.
I know, that's the sad part. Like, they really were like, where are we gonna go with this? Oh, we're gonna make him like the worst possible version of himself, and he did a great job at it.
And again, it's like, I feel like this wasn't inevitable. I think if he got more support either from the school or from his social worker, this wouldn't have happened. Like, he wouldn't have become the person that he did.
See, I was thinking that too. But then when he was in jail and he was like, man, I'm 19. Like, he's off. He doesn't need to be in a foster situation anymore. He doesn't, in the eyes of, like, the law, He doesn't need a social worker anymore. The school isn't supporting him anymore. You know, he is a full grown adult in this situation. So maybe if he could have had more support when he was younger, but yeah. Also he wasn't open to it. You have to be open to it a little bit. Like, he wanted nothing to do with the social worker. He wanted nothing to do with his grandparents. He wanted no help from school to be better. Like, he knew he was flunking. Like, he could have asked Snake to actually tutor him, but he didn't. You know, at some point he has to take some responsibility for his actions.
Yes, for sure. But I do think in situations like his, like, you maybe do need to force him to, like, go to therapy or, like, see
You can't force people to do that, though. Because then it's not, it doesn't work. And he wouldn't have gone to, like, a rehab because he didn't have any problems. Like, he, unfortunately, is just, yeah, it's just one of those situations where it sucks. And, like, you can't make someone go to therapy, Jasper. It doesn't work.
Well, I mean, as a teacher, like, what would you do if, you know, one of your students had a situation like this?
I mean,
or what do you think the school administration could do?
I mean, there's like situations where if a student is homeless, right, and their attendance is bad, and then they move in with like a friend, right, and their attendance is still bad, you can show up to their house and be like, you have to come to school. You can give them detention. You can tell them that they're going to have to go to summer school. You can set up like a social worker for CPS. But there also needs to come a time where it's like, if that kid's not getting on the bus, if that kid's not getting in the car with the administrator come to school, there's nothing more you can do, unfortunately, if an adult in his life is also not supporting him. So like, I don't think Wheels killing someone was inevitable, right? I don't think there's that. But I think it is a good point that because Wheels never took any responsibility, he never took opportunities to turn his life around. And it's okay for like bad things to happen to people occasionally. Unfortunately, like, it happens. And I think if Degrassi was like a perfect world, it would not be entertaining, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. For me, it's like, I, like, obviously I know you can't help everybody, but you want to.
Of course. And that's the thing, like, people wanted to help Wheels, right? And Joey did for a month until he stole money from him. And Snake did. And his grandparents did. But he did not accept the help, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's just so sad.
It is sad. Yeah, no, I agree. But I think that it was really interesting to watch his character develop in a negative way.
Yes. Over time. Yeah, because like, that we rarely see that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I would say Zig might be the closest thing to it, but then he bounces back in the end anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, like we do sometimes see characters go downward, but then we always see them come back up at the end.
Right. I guess his coming back up is at the reunion in the Next Generation.
Zig?
No, sorry. Wheels.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, so like, although he doesn't redeem himself in this, he does end up coming back and apologizing. So there's your going back up in the end.
Still sad. Oh, I was also thinking about your point last time about nature versus nurture, which I thought about specifically because Wheels is adopted.
Right.
So I was just thinking, like, would Wheels have been better off with his teen parents? They probably wouldn't have died in a drunk driving accident.
I mean, it would be interesting to think about, like, he could be, or also if he is an alcoholic, he inherited it from his dad. Mm-hmm. So there's a chance that that also could have been going on.
That's true.
So I don't know. You never know with those things. Would have been interesting to think about, though.
And unfortunately, Lucy was just kind of a victim of all this.
Right.
So Lucy didn't really have much of a role in the movie besides trying to be the voice of reason for Caitlin. And then she just gets kind of permanently disabled.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's kind of hard to like wrap her up, but I guess we can think of her. Let's talk about her overall, I would say.
Yeah, just because she ends the movie like recovering, but we don't see her outside of the hospital. So That's why I'm really glad that there was the Next Generation to show that Lucy is alive and well.
Right, yeah, that
Because
it didn't just end after that.
we do see her a couple times in Next Generation, so it is good to see that she got through this and it, like, used it to grow as a person.
Which, of course, you would because she's so smart and well-rounded and strong.
But the first thing I wanted to point out with Lucy is there was one of the first scenes in the movie after her graduation party where she is cleaning up her pool and there's an underwater shot of her.
Yeah.
That to me was a direct parallel to Liberty jumping in the pool with her prom dress on.
Aw, I like it. What a little connection there.
Like both Lucy and Liberty were the valedictorians of their class,
Right.
and they have like this really pretty underwater scene of them kind of swimming around.
I did not think about that. I wonder if Degrassi did that on purpose.
I think so.
I hope so, because I like it.
Yeah. But yeah, Lucy, like, as I said, she doesn't have much in the movie, but she, in my opinion, is the icon of Degrassi. She's the coolest girl in school, and I would want to be her friend above
Oh
everything.
yeah, 100%. She is the smartest, and I don't know. There's just so many things to like about her, you know?
Because I was thinking about she wasn't the main character at first, right? The original main girl character was Stephanie. So I was thinking about just the few things that she had at the beginning when Stephanie was still around. And that was primarily the. And she ended up ditching her friends to date some older boys.
Oh
So
my God, yes.
she kind of started off being, a bit bratty and privileged. But then after that whole situation, she grew and became a really good friend.
Right.
So I think Lucy had some of the most organic character development out of everybody in this series.
I think you're right. I think when I said Joey, like it would be better to have a girl lead, I guess because they give Joey more airtime in this movie, I forgot how important Lucy like actually was. But yeah, no, I think she's awesome. I love her dating plots. I love her, you know, realizing that she has to like not ditch her friends for boys. Basically, everything you said, how she's just so great to LD, even though LD's like not there. It's just everything about her, so well-rounded.
Yes. Because, like, I was thinking specifically about how angry she got at Caitlin for choosing Joey over school.
Yeah.
And that to me really showed her growth because Lucy would have chosen a boy over school back when.
Yeah.
Because she developed, she is like, I'm dating Bronco who supports my career and my goals because he's a good guy who respects women. So I don't understand why you, who I also see as a smart girl with a lot, with a good future ahead of her, are choosing a dumbass boy over going with me to a really good school.
Such a big Lucy character development moment.
Yeah, like obviously, I do think some of that was a little bit selfish that like, oh shit, you're ruining my plans. But like Lucy has been played by guys. When Caitlyn has really just been played a bit on and off by Joey, I feel like Lucy was kind of seeing some of her old self in Caitlyn making these decisions.
Oh, probably. And also, it's shitty when your friend goes back on something as big as being your roommate in college.
Yeah, for sure. Oh my God, I forgot I wrote this. I wrote Lucy's role in the movie is the voice of reason, so is it ironic that she loses her eyesight because she can't see things clearly anymore?
My God. Take no, Jasper. It is not that deep. That's so bad.
Yeah, but again, back to the like things got really dramatic at the end. I do think having Lucy get so injured was another part of that. It was like, what was the point of Lucy getting so injured if they're They just tell us she is like disabled for the rest of her life. Okay,
Right.
goodbye, Lucy, forever, right?
I think they did that because otherwise it wouldn't has been impactful on the friend group or as impactful on the friend group, in my opinion. Like Wheels' actions killing a kid, bad, right? Wheels' actions killing a kid and hurting a friend that is like known to just be so good and so smart and has such a bright future. Like, it just, I feel like it does definitely add to the drama, but I also feel like it's almost not good that it was her. It was just more interesting that it was her.
I would agree if, like, they had at the wedding, Lucy comes in like a wheelchair, maybe.
I don't think she was like that healthy though. It was only like a month and a half after.
I know, but like, I guess my point is like, they injured Lucy to the extent that we never see her again, right?
Well, because it ends, the movie ends.
Yeah.
But like, then we see her at Next Generation.
Yeah, but that wasn't planned when this movie was made.
Right.
But my point is like, they leave Lucy on such a bad note in this movie, which she deserves better than that.
I mean, yeah, that's fair too. I think it was just, like we said, this movie was just all for the drama. All for the, oh my God, Lucy, I can't believe it.
Yeah, like to me, it just felt mean to do this to Lucy without like even just a short scene of like Lucy being like, I'm gonna do whatever it takes to get through this or whatever. Yeah. You know?
Whatever it takes.
Yeah, so I think that's the movie.
Wow. I can't believe it. We did it. My God, so proud of us.
Yes.
But it looks like you have endings for other characters as well.
Yeah, I spent a bit of time just going through The Next Generation to just point out the small details for characters of like, of where are they now?
Yeah.
So I just kind of made notes of all of those. In the movie, we do have a couple one-liners talking about like what some of the other characters are doing after high school. So the first one was just that like Heather mentions that Erica is going to the Dominican Republic to teach English, and she also has a new man. So Erica is still boy crazy, I guess. Spike is planning to go to college as Emma enters pre-K. And we also find out that Nancy has like a 10-year plan or something. And those are things mentioned in the movie. But then I also made some notes about details that we find out in Next Generation, either in the reunion episode or past that, about the other characters.
Right. And now this is my time to shine.
Yes.
Okay. So we find out that Lucy does physical therapy. She gets degrees and is almost done with a PhD in anthropology. And she even shows up to Spike and Snake's wedding. Very exciting. Yik is business partners with Arthur with a web design company. That does not surprise me at all. I'm sure with all of Arthur's money, he's able to create his own wealth.
Yeah, and do Yik, a startup.
He'll have a startup. Just, you know, a small loan of $1 million from his parents. Dwayne is still doing well with HIV and he does not have AIDS. And he also looks pretty good. Kathleen is jealous of Caitlin and trying to make her own TV show. Are we surprised? I'm glad Kathleen was not in this more, honestly.
Yeah.
Diana is married and an accountant with 2 kids. Allison is a hoe and trying to make it in Hollywood.
Well, yeah, because Allison is the one who tries to hook up with Caitlin's Hollywood fiance.
Oh my god. Oh my god, that's so funny. I forgot about that.
Specifically with Allison, it was so weird that was the first and only time that Allison is without Amy.
Yeah, I don't think I would have even recognized her, honestly, without her friend there.
Yeah.
Liz, she works with mentally disabled people, and she was actually Spike's midwife for Jack, and showed up to Spike's divorce party, and her hair looked relatively normal from what I remember.
Yeah.
Alexa and Simon are still married with 2 kids and a 3rd on the way. Yik and Maya were also at the reunion. And as we know, Yik is business partners. Maya, not sure what she's up to. Trish had a drug problem, but is sober now and works in a funeral home and does some writing on the side. I don't know who Rainbow is.
Me neither. Like, she was in the little video, but I was like, who the fuck is Rainbow?
I know. I was wondering if it was like, if she changed her name or something. She didn't look familiar to me.
Yeah, I was probably just one of the background characters who had like a line or two here and there.
Oh my god, they just completely cut her except for that. That's hilarious. The twins do show up to Spike's baby shower, and Liz is there too. Shane is in a nursing home, and Emma does find him in one of the later episodes and learns who he is, and or at least the earlier episodes of The Next Generation, which I think was an incredible callback, honestly. 10 out of 10. Wheels is out of jail. He did his time. He shows up to the reunion, and he goes to apologize to Lucy. When Snake has cancer, Joey and Spike get Snake to go bowling, and Joey invites Wheels. Wheels takes responsibility and tells Snake he relates to wanting to die, but you have to find a way to keep going. They ride home singing, "Everybody Wants Something."
So that's really it.
That's it. That's all of them. They're all living their best, kind of best lives, I would say.
Or at least they were 20 years ago.
And for those of you who haven't watched the like mini reunion, where can you find it? You find it on YouTube. What's it called?
So most of these, like the stuff about like Yik and Dwayne and Kathleen, those were all like a deleted scene from the reunion episode in season one of Next Generation.
Okay. Honestly, worth a watch. It makes you feel like very nostalgic.
Yeah. So it's a cute little thing of just like they're making a little videotape of all the alumni at the reunion event. So it was kind of cute. And then obviously you have a couple other things after the reunion episode with, you know, Spike and Snake get married. So Lucy shows up, Snake gets cancer, and Wheels shows up for like the first time ever.
Yep.
So something I thought was interesting, because I rewatched the reunion episode in preparation for this, and I was just comparing it to the reunion episode in Next Class.
Yep.
With, you know, where Emma and Marco's generation come back, right?
Yeah.
And what I thought was interesting was in the junior high reunion, like the adults actually have a plot. Like the plot of that episode is like Joey doesn't know if he wants to come to the reunion because his wife just died. And then Caitlin is engaged, but like her fiance is a dickhead.
Yeah.
And then also obviously at the same time, Emma is getting cyberstalked. But in the Next Class reunion, it's really just cameos that all the old characters have. Like the main plot of that episode is like the Black Lives Matter protest that Lola is in charge of. And the other characters kind of pop in here and there to give like one-liners about the situation, but they don't actually have a plot, and we don't really learn about what they're really doing with their lives.
Yeah, I kind of liked the reunion better, like the Next Generation one, because like you said, it was all about other things going on, and it just wasn't what I wanted, honestly. I didn't really like care that much to see them like participating in school activities. Like I wanted to know what was going on.
Like obviously it's better to always have the focus on the student characters because they're the point of the right show at that point. But, you know, it wouldn't have been a bad thing if, like, maybe Emma led a faction of the protest as, like, a symbol of, like, her old protests, you know? And just give her a short little storyline about that. I think that would have been cute and, like, just a good callback for the OG viewers, you know?
I agree. Okay, but anything else?
Yeah, that's it for Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High.
Wow. Look at us go. We're going to need to have a 10-year reunion for this.
Yeah, so since we've now covered all of Degrassi, this is kind of the end of the podcast.
Yeah, we did it. We kind of thought about what we would do next, but I think both of us are in a place in our lives where we're going to take a pause on this for now. I think we'd be willing to come back, you know, if any Degrassi news were to pop up, like, at all, right? We can always make a mini episode.
And, like, if you are faithful viewers after, this is our 80th episode, so ending on a nice round number, which is cute. But if you've watched or listened to all of our 80 episodes and, you know, some of our side episodes, if you want to hear us talk about stuff, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, even if we are not like regularly making episodes, we could come on every now and then and like talk about stuff if people are interested.
Yeah, we would love to do that. We just made it through all of Degrassi.
Yeah, so I think we are going to do just one more like short episode after this, just to kind of wrap things up about our whole thoughts about the podcast and Degrassi in general, and maybe where we think Degrassi should go next. But yeah, this is it for like our formal, you know, analysis.
It's a sad day for the social disease. We have been cured.
Of the social disease.
Of the social disease.
Took some antibiotics.
Sure did.
But yeah, if you've been listening this long, thank you for listening.
And we won't see you soon.
we'll at least see you soon one more time.
We'll see you soon one more time.
Yeah.